Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Touchdowns All Day with John Barber podcast. Let's start out with an original demo by the Disco Biscuits. This song is called Twisted in the Road. Got to get moving fast, you know? Slow intros are for the birds. We're moving quick.
Short circuit in my brain. Tell me, are you folding? I want to know. And if there's somewhere you could hide, maybe you could go and be on your own. And they say, go, be gone. And you stay.
This is the demo before we pulled the kick out of this section and went all the way back down. This is what it was originally. It's kicks and some melodies.
Twisted in the road, maybe you were rolling for far too long. And if there's somewhere you could fly, maybe you could go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 49 of the Touchdowns All Day with John Barber podcast. Thank you all for listening to our podcast. We have gotten great news. Congrats to all of us. Congrats to all of us. This podcast is 1% of top 1% of all podcasts in the entire globe. This podcast is in the top 1% of all podcasts in the globe. And I don't know how we did it. We must have a great fan base. We must. We must have incredible listeners who listen to all of our podcasts. And no matter what release schedule we're on, we make every single, we do everything wrong that all the podcast pros tell us not to do wrong. And yet still, they're in the top 3%. We're in the top 1% of all podcasts in the world. That is amazing, folks. Thank you so much. It's incredible. And I just, you know, the scene, it just feels so popping right now. Everything feels so popping right now. And you can hear in that demo of Twist in the Road that we just played you, that is a, like, you know, a cool, that's like one of the first demos. That's what it sounds like. And you can hear all the excitement in the song right there. There are some demos before that, which is like kind of like, you know, me in a dark room with a guitar, like drinking too much wine and playing a lazy version of the song that's like, and it's completely not listenable. But this is like one of the first listenable versions that we had that was on course to be the final song. There were some other versions along the way where the beats are totally different, or the harmonies are different, like it's not on path for what ends up to be the song. This was the version that when we heard it, we were like, oh, okay, we're on track here. Let's call a cloud chord and let's make a song here. Thank you guys for all your help. Thanks for making us the number one podcast in the world. Thank you for all the listening on Spotify with the new songs. Twist in the Road is doing incredible. Who's in Charge doing incredible. We just have a great vibe going on with Spotify right now. And we are releasing a new song on Spotify literally this upcoming week. And it's going to be a hyped up remix of Twisted in the Road that we, you know, a friend of a friend of a friend was like, can I make a remix? We were like, sure. He made this remix. They made this remix. And it is like just super popping. It's crazy off the charts. Cool. And, you know, I mean, I love the original, but it's also just as cool as the original because it's just so, it's so hype. I mean, you're going to love it. It's so much fun to listen to. So we do have a podcast to do, though. This is episode 49. Oh, wait, just real quick. Also coming out on Spotify is our next release, Tourist Rocket Ship. I listened to it last night. It's the best song the Biscuits have ever made in a studio, in my opinion. And we are releasing that in like 2 or 3 weeks. Same Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, same spots. Please download, like, favorite, all the things, share that Tourist Rocket Ship song. You know, let everybody know. Everybody should hear it. We worked really hard on it. I think it's Cloud Chord's best mix that I've ever heard him do, frankly. I haven't listened to his whole catalog, so I don't know what he's got in there, but of everything that I've heard, this is like, I mean, Cloud Chord is just on another level right now. And we're so lucky to have him as part of the team because he is just like, he's master stroke right now. That's what he is, you know? He's just sitting down and 4 days later, he's got a masterpiece on his hand. And he's just been doing that time and time again. I'm really happy to be working with him right now because he's kicking ass. So here is the Touchdowns All Day, episode 49, sponsored by Immaculate Seeds. Folks, this is Roundtable Volume 3. Episode 48 is Roundtable Volume 2. So this is continued from that. So this is going to be, if you listen to the last episode, this is going to be real similar. I'm not going to run through the whole rant on this one. You guys get the vibe. This is like lighthearted, non-professional comedy for just fun, pre-pandemic stuff. So enjoy. Have a good listen. Let me run you through some tour dates here because we did add some shows. The Halloween weekend has really, really opened up to something special. September 30th and October 1st. So the beginning of October, September 30th, October 1st, And October 3rd, we have gigs in Utica and Brantford, Connecticut. And then Halloween weekend, October 27th, Live Oak, Florida at Halloween. October 28th in Asheville, October 29th in Norfolk, Virginia, and October 30th, just announced, in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the Jefferson Theater, which we played a bunch of times. It's a good room for the Biscuits. It's an easy little room to jam out in. And then November 10th and 11th, Infinity Music Hall, Hartford, Connecticut. 12th in Boston. 13th, Stroudsburg, PA. And then 18th and 19th, the big shows at the Eastern in Atlanta, Georgia. Do not miss those shows. And then New Year's Run, which has just been announced, is December 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Riv Theater in Chicago. Those are the upcoming Biscuit dates. Biscuits are really killing it right now. So come out to see some shows, you know. Come to see some shows. Come on a little mini tour with us. We're playing some music for y'all. So come enjoy it. Three cheers to our sponsor, Immaculate Seeds. We have we're doing another sponsorship. Congrats at Daver's Garden for his T-Dad memes and winning the Immaculate Seeds and Touchdowns All Day tickets. Congrats, Daver's Garden. He's got two VIP tickets to an upcoming show. We want to do another ticket giveaway soon. So, go to Immaculate Seeds, buy some seeds, get some free seeds. These guys, they're kind of an aggregator of some of the best cannabis breeders in the country. They offer a curated menu that you growers and farmers can trust. Immaculate Services, they do homegrown farms, medical and recreational facilities, traditional seeds, feminized seeds, DNA testing kits. They ship coast to coast. They offer international shipping. And right now, it's 20 to 50% off everything on the menu. Mention Touchdowns when ordering and get a free pack of seeds and get entered to win more tickets, because we're giving away tickets. If you want to send them an email, send an email to immaculateseeds@gmail.com. And just remember, they're a sponsor of the podcast here, and we really appreciate them for sponsoring what we're doing, which is making a number one global podcast in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy
the conclusion of Roundtable.
We're mass communicating. We're mass communicating. We're mass
communicating. So, when we do an interview...
You got me a beer?
Yeah, I'm cool with that by far. You know?
Yeah, well, what generally happens is, so for an interview...
Tell me, explain your process.
What is your process?
Explain your process. Are you rolling? We're rolling still.
Look, there's a world where the perfect podcast can be created. It can be found. But it can be only found with some light chiseling and editing.
We have Neil deGrasse Tyson with us. Ladies and gentlemen.
Steel what grass. Happens if a podcast goes around the moon?
Neil Steel deGrasse Tyson.
But twice.
But twice. There's a Chinese space station above the moon where the podcasts are made for all of China.
Yeah. Thanks.
They're in outer space. They're weightless. What do you do? Like, we talk on the thing. Mm-hmm. We all say and like all the time.
No, it's like like, you know, like, you know, and then, you know, like.
And those have to get yanked. It, so. Those have to get yanked because listen,
I feel like we've been speaking with concisity tonight.
We are all, the four of us are amazing. It's concisity.
You're also thinking, like, this isn't an interview format.
Yeah.
Like, so many times you're just, like, behind the mic as, like, an interview. You're
like this, we're not going to be able to edit this too much because your voice is in his mic, my voice is in your mic. So if I move and you, one really great thing you can do in an interview is if I'm talking to you and we're doing an interview and we talk at the same time, it sounds like garbage. But if I just go early and you just go a little bit later, it sounds like we just have this really intelligent, really in-depth conversation going on. Yeah. And then you pull out all the ums, and then you basically cut out every part that's not. That just doesn't go to funniness.
That's why I have a lot of respect for.
So we're gonna end up with a 10-second.
this is mostly garbage. We're gonna have one line about ABBA, and then out we go.
Soundbite.
It's just you saying ABBA sucks at the end. First 3 seconds.
ABBA does not suck. ABBA does not suck.
That's why I have a lot of respect for people that can, like, do it live. because, and there's a shit ton to do, but like.
You mostly do it live, right?
Tough.
I pretty much do it live. I usually like sit down, put the mic down, we write a script over the phone or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I leave for like an hour and I go do four lines of heroin and I drink a little LSD. Sure. And then I come back in, I got a little buzz going. And I come back in and I just fire the mic around and it's just like, how quickly can I press record?
You just play Velvet Underground. For this.
I come back 3 weeks later, like,
It happens to be all the time. We'll be like, oh, we have 10 minutes where you can interview whoever. It'll be like an afterthought to me in the day-to-day. Because the thing you got to remember about people that are on the press cycle is they're just saying the same shit everywhere. No one's going to really give you anything that interesting. There's not really a great story out of it. It's just a soundbite. So when I'm talking to a sports guy and there's whoever it is 5 minutes before – hey, how'd that go? By being as vague as possible, you get the best content out of it. There's not really a great specific question to like prompt people with that they haven't already answered. That's how you can sculpt the content into something that is genuinely a story. And then they know that's their cue.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, dude, interviews are mind games. In journalistic situations, interviews are mind games.
Yeah.
You can get more out of them. Say that one thing that's prompting whatever. Then it's just 12 different follow-up questions on that. Then you legit have a piece of story, a piece of the story that is different from what everybody else has. No, so let's say you're interviewing somebody because they just won the World Series. Yo, like you just, it's crazy. You just won the World Series. Like,
what kind of pants are you wearing?
No, not really that. It's more like you go with a vague, what's it feel like? And then that's all up to them at that point.
So is your whole interview style kind of work predicated on the fact that they can't be like, yo, what the fuck question was that?
Yeah.
You like,
yeah.
They can't say that they because that's that. Your soundbite right
there. Yeah, they
there.
Can't say that because that's a soundbite. It's like it's like they're backed into a corner of having to be having to say something.
So you're like, good or bad?
Was it right? Yeah. And it's not a yes or. It's like you don't have to go like lawyerly and be like, "Is that a yes or no?"
You're like airplanes.
Airplane, right?
It's like,
most of the time they just go for it
for sure,
and you don't really have to follow up with much on it. Like you just, they go for it. You know that you're done.
Let's try one
with
all of us.
And then go
Swedish fish first.
I just lost.
Yeah, ask him
something. Yeah. Okay. Because do you ever get to interview people that lose something?
You
interview.
Okay, so he's set the stage.
Yeah, I've interviewed.
Tiny dancer,
yeah.
What do these words mean to you? Milk. Tiny dancer.
Ophelia. Well, I'm more of a catchy guy.
What are your favorite albums of the decade?
This decade. Because, you know, we're a month away from a new decade. And I can't
also really weren't any albums this decade. There's only like four albums.
Did somebody come out with any music?
Yeah.
I think Travis Scott was the only album out this entire decade.
Whatever four Sade put out.
Kendrick Lamar was there, I think.
Kendrick Lamar put an album out, for sure.
I think the Daft Punk album is the most important album.
What is?
The Daft Punk album.
Ooh, of this decade?
True. Yeah. Random Access Memories. It's grown on me crazily. Because when it first came out, you're kind of like, what? And then it won that Grammy that year. And then I was oh, cool. I listened to everything the Grammy said.
Have you guys ever seen that?
But it does grow on you a little bit. I don't know.
Have you ever seen that YouTube like video of the collaborators? It was like an HBO thing. It was like Pharrell talking about those two songs that he made with Daft Punk. He was like, I first met the robots at a like kind of like a diner party in Hollywood, and he was like, it's been a lifelong dream of mine to like work with them on something, and then they're like, yeah, cool, you know, and they flew me out wherever, France, yeah. I don't know where they're from.
France.
Yeah. And he's like, and I get there and like they give me this like weird Alka-Seltzer type drink, and then they're like, so what kind of stuff? And like, I drink it. Like, I'm not even going to say that I'm not going to drink it. You know, it's just like an understood thing that I just have to drink it. And then they ask him what kind of stuff he's working on. He's like, I'm really feeling some like 70s funk guitar riff. I want to write something like that. And just recorded Niles Rogers.
Yeah.
That's the Game of Thrones fire whiskey talking.
There was a Niles
Barkley. We're on to the fire talking.
They just recorded Mr. Rogers on guitar.
Let me take that.
It's a beautiful day in the wow.
Lucky. Niles Roger, he was like, I'm really feeling some like 70s funk guitar rhythms and I want to write to something like that. And they're like, that's funny because we just like had Niles Rogers here in the studio and we wanted you to write to this and like play the riff for Get Lucky and then also Lose Yourself to Dance from that album that we're talking about. And he was like, yeah, this is perfect. And he was like, and then I flew home and I don't even remember what the fuck happened. And now we got like a platinum hit.
Amazing.
I'm like, wow. Awesome. That gives me chills. Like, it's like a 7 minute video on YouTube. You gotta watch it.
There was this didn't remember even recording. And he was like mid sentence being like, this is what I want to do. And he drinks the thing. And then he goes, next thing I know, I'm on a plane.
On a plane back home.
And you're like, whoa.
And then he was like, and I wrote the
game. They dosed him?
I guess.
Pretty much.
Yeah, how he makes it up. And he's like, he seems pretty Dash chill.
Dash dosed Pharrell?
Yes.
And this is publicly.
But he let them. That's a huge story.
That's a huge story.
It's on the internet.
Everyone else should dose Pharrell. Those songs are dope.
I know. Well,
somebody drive him over to Pharrell's house.
Can we get to dose him and just make some music? I got some bangers.
I got really colorful after that.
He says that he sees music.
He sees music and color. Sounds. You know?
See, I don't know what was in that beverage, but I can't even see straight. It's been 4 years.
But I just keep making hits.
I keep singing Lose Yourself to Dance over songs.
He lost himself to dance. He's still dancing. We lost Pharrell. But
in that same video, he's talking about it. Then they're like, the interviewer's great. He's like, so what does that song feel like to you? And he's like, it's about just like, you know, going out like all night with like this girl that you like and shit. And then like you park like on a piece, you know, like a Malibu or some shit. And it's like got a picture of the car on the sunset. And then he's like, and then you just, you know.
And then you realize the girl is actually the two members of Daft Punk.
Yeah. And you're sucking their dicks.
And now it's emerging. Stage up for the rock.
And they're like, we love you, dog.
Around the world, around.
Around the world.
I'm like super fascinated by that because I think that
great.
Album
is so great.
I think that the shit was fucking dope, man.
Yeah, it's a great album. And then the Giorgio Moroder's track.
It's not just a great album. Sick. It was a great album release.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's just like, yo, skew me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they did it. They every step that they did along the way, they were kind of an enigma. They announced it on like SNL.
Yeah. They hadn't played anywhere forever.
They hadn't played anywhere.
They were like in mask, robot mask.
Do y'all remember those promos they had? They were the coolest shit, dude. They had those like disco suits on and they were like playing on
shit
space,
was fucking
like,
awesome.
Giant like pyramids.
Pyramids.
Much like a boy Osiris radio. That is one of them, dude. You ever listen to Anderson .Paak? That's another one.
Yeah,
Malibu was a great record.
I love that. I think that's a great record.
That's a fantastic record.
Yeah,
like, that thing is,
Anderson .Paak and like Kendrick. Like
this is the great Los Angeles music coming out this year, man.
Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace.
I mean, did D'Angelo come out in this decade?
No.
D'Angelo last decade?
That was 1980.
Jesus might have, dude.
Was it? Yeah, Black Jesus.
That was Black Jesus.
That was, dude, because this decade has been like a long time.
I think this has been a long decade. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long day.
I mean, 2011 was Watch the Throne, like the Kanye Jay-Z album.
That's a good album.
Which is fucking bananas.
That
like,
sounds retarded.
You got my bitches going bananas?
I mean, that song might be one of the biggest songs of the decade for sure.
I think so.
And they
like,
going gorillas.
It was huge.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
There was some good shit at the beginning of the decade.
I feel like
pre-Spotify, there was some good shit.
Yeah. I feel like
now an album isn't really relevant anymore.
Exactly.
Interesting.
I feel like
interesting.
This Spotify is just too fucking easy. Why would you go get an album? It's so easy.
They make the
playlist for you. Like, you know, you don't have to pick music out anymore.
You've made playlists.
You just have sex now.
Dude, I mean, like, making playlists was such an art, intimate thing, dude. Like, where you're like, how does this song flow? And now all of a sudden people are like, you should listen to the song Spotify recommended to me. Why?
Shuffle.
Dude, go out and find your own
song. Now Spotify's like, dude, will you take me out and make out with me? Yeah. Here's a mix I made for you.
I'm kind of...
Next thing you know, you're stuck in a car with Daft Punk again. The Daft Punk sex story.
To have that licensing ability to everything is fucking amazing, man.
Just cut that out.
But the thing that blows my mind is when I talk to like really young producers, I guess you could almost say, like that work in the studio and like just create for Spotify with no intentions of it ever living anywhere else other than that and creating a royalty churn on that.
Yeah.
That to me is so bananas to me. It's like You're the equivalent of like the person that creates.
I know a kid who does that.
Exactly. You, dude, and he probably does it under like five different names.
Yeah, he's here. We made a track together earlier this year.
Yep.
And he explained it to me. And I had no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
Dude,
it was like if you put this out and you playlist this with these other people and then you take your left shoe off.
Yep.
And then you walk over there and say seven out loud and you walk over there and you call your mom and then you come back to Spotify and say you might.
And then C3 like signed me and like next thing you know, I'm on a Hyundai commercial.
Yeah. And then I listen to the song and the song is it's like, oh, you made the same song and gave it to Spotify.
Spotify,
like, yeah, Spotify loves it.
That shit is fucking bananas it's to me. Cool. Like, you know, like in the days of like payola and the radio, at least there was a lot of fucking art that went into like getting it to that step. Like,
well, I had a payola manager at one point in time who managed, after payola, he managed us.
Yeah.
He used to manage Will.i.am, and he used to manage Meatloaf back in the day, Meatloaf's big day.
Oh, yeah.
His name was David Sonnenberg. He was a great manager, and he lived in the payola days, and then he managed us after payola.
Yeah.
Explain what is payola.
Payola is what Facebook is. If you make a post to Facebook and you don't pay them, no one sees it. Right. Your mom doesn't even see it. But if you pay them, everyone sees it. And if you pay them a lot, people on the other side of the planet see it, right? Okay. And so record stations used to work the same way, except they weren't ethically allowed to. They were just supposed to be playing music that they thought was good. But really, they were playing music that paid. So you would walk in the door and you'd say, okay, this is my new artist. His name is Meatloaf or whatever. He's got the song Bad Out of Hell, which is 70 minutes long, but here's 50 grand. And then everybody plays it.
Yeah, and they were doing it in all the local markets.
And then he said payola was, they do it everywhere. Yeah. And those days, radio was where you got your music from. Like, James Brown was big into payola. He invented it, probably.
Okay.
He invented everything, but I think payola is one of the most unique things that he invented. Of course, he invented funk, right? Like he also invented payola.
It's what created the sound to drive record sales and therefore drive, the live industry. Around it. Like,
so I asked him, I was like, well, is it better without payola? And he was like, fuck no. Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, payola was great. You walk into the radio station, you give the guy money, your record gets played. You don't have any issues. Now I have to like convince people the song is good.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is that? That's not even a thing. How do I convince you a song is good right now? How do I convince you of that? If I can give you money, I've convinced you.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was so easy, so great, so easy to manage a band, so easy to break a band. And nowadays, you can do that on Facebook and Instagram.
Programming is hard.
To the top a little bit more with a little vanilla bean sprinkled in. You know what I mean? Dude, I mean, like, sweet deal, man. Dude, I'm sure these radio stations get so many records that just get sifted through, right? Mm-hmm. Thrown out the window.
No. But yeah, like, but it's all about
do how they or do they not?
It's all about how the licensing comes in on that. I mean, that's why record labels still exist, is because they're able to, like, cut rate licensing deals with, like, iHeartRadio or something like that, so that they can then get records played exponentially, but like what the artist is going to see out of it is still very high, but it's lower versus you walking into like K-Rock and being like, hey, this is my dude, he's awesome, can you feature him? And the programming director would just laugh in your face. Like,
do people not do the Airheads thing anymore where they're just holding a radio station hostage?
We should.
Dude, remember Brendan Fraser, Adam Sandler, and Steve Buscemi were in a movie?
That movie happened.
That's a great movie.
What movie are you talking about?
Dude, Airheads.
Airheads.
And it was those three dudes.
Was like a hockey movie or something?
No, it was them. No. They were like and they a really, rock band.
They really
and they wanted
fucking
like this radio station to play their record. So they go in and it's like Dog Day Afternoon, except it's with the radio station. And they hold the DJ hostage with a water
You've
gun.
Seen this shit.
Yeah.
I think
it's a great movie.
Kramer.
Yeah, I didn't really see Brendan Fraser movies. I was out. When You're Brendan Fraser was running shit, I was trying to make a jam band.
I
was trying to make art.
Yeah.
I thought records were based on
that
the
shit
mummy.
Was fucking insane.
Brendan Fraser or helicopters. So what do you want, motherfuckers?
You know, Brendan Fraser was
like, I wrote a rock opera, and you're watching that on TV.
Brendan Fraser's in this little movie called The Mummy.
I'm willing
very
to say,
similar to our good pal, Osiris Radio.
You know, let me tell you something. The Mummy the is the ride death. At the Universal Stop.
It's the shit, man.
That ride is awesome. Dude.
Do they set the ceiling on fire still?
There's
they used to do
show.
That.
Probably not bugs. Anymore.
Y'all, the bugs. That's right. They used to do the bugs, and then it would catch on fire.
That was Backdraft.
Which was... No. Backdraft is like a show. That's fucking weird. Yeah.
Backdraft was a movie, dude.
No, but there was a show at Universal.
Great movie.
Was it a movie?
It was.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, awesome movie.
Yeah.
It was like a
so sick. Dude.
Was it?
Good fires. Yeah, dude. It was just like a lot
of fun. Dude, the fires, the backdraft at Universal, you walked in and like all the shit came apart and you're like burning in front of you or whatever.
That's how we lost my grandma.
I'm
glad that we brought Universal into this.
I walked out, she wasn't there, and then I was very sad as I made my way back to the parking lot.
But then I got on the mummy ride.
On my Uber ride out here, my Uber driver, he was like, this to me is still so fucking funny. He's like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, well, whatever. And he's like, so tomorrow I got tickets to meet Vin Diesel at Universal. Sick. And I was like, whoa, that's Triple X. Awesome.
I love the fact that you can buy tickets.
Did somebody pay
to
those,
do a meet
or?
And greet with like Vin Diesel. That's so like fucked up.
Crazy.
He said it's like a Fast and Furious like expo event, type thing. Like there's like a barrier to entry and you have to buy it. And he was the willing consumer to be like, I got tickets to meet
Vin
Diesel.
Like, you were like, what are you up to? And he was like, well, I got tickets to go see Vin Diesel.
Yes.
And you're
exactly
like
any
serious?
Of us would say, oh, we got tickets to see whatever. Like, that is so funny.
I got
me. Like,
tickets for Vin.
I got Vin tickets. Like, yo, can I put that shit on Cash or Trade?
Cash or Trade. Insert ISO 1 Vin Diesel meet and greet backstage, all access.
That meet and greet went too fast, too furious. You guys been to Neptune's Net up in Malibu?
Oh, many times.
It's featured in two great movies, man.
What is it, a diner?
It's like a diner.
Even.
It's like deep fried like
seafood. Deep fruit.
Yeah. Deep fruit. Deep fruit and deeper.
I'm a United States government spy.
Way
deep fruit.
Covert seafood.
That was Elton John's code name.
He wanted to name his first album that, but they said no. And
they said not a chance.
Yeah. They made up an album by a hippie band, and they called it Deep Fruit. And they're like, there's already a name. Like, you can't name it that. There already is one.
Okay, wait, what's the second movie?
Fast and Furious, obviously, first Vin Diesel jam was... film there.
No, the alien one.
I thought Triple X. Yeah. Okay. Chronicles of Riddick. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
But the second one was my favorite. Maybe one of my top three movies ever. Point Break.
Isn't Point
That's
Break?
Where he meets the chick with the short hair.
Are you serious?
Yep. Vin Diesel's in Point Break.
Oh my God. That is amazing.
But they film it at that
Wait,
place.
What?
They film it at the same restaurant. So Fast and Furious Point Break.
Oh, that's the scene that Flea's in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flea.
Wait, which scene? Which
scene? It's when he meets the short haired girl.
Wait,
he's
Anthony
like,
Kiedis is in. Is
you mean
in
the
Point
surf
Break.
Shop?
Flea isn't.
Flea is not in Point Break.
You talking about?
I know. Common misconception. You
really?
Know? There's some funky
Kiedis
baselines
is,
in
and he actually had a fucked up foot. That's like why he shot his foot off or some shit. Oh, he had done some like dumb rock star shit.
I've been a dozen times.
Gotcha.
It's a huge biker place. Like if you go past there on any weekend,
I've never been there. We should go.
No
I love
less
that
than like.
Fantastic.
40 motorcycles.
They have like a tartar
it.
Sauce
like,
dispenser. You know,
yeah,
like one of
it's rad.
Cranked down.
Solid.
Dude, I was there once and I was like, yo, this is some weird California shit. And like these dudes came out, like wandered down from the hills, like under there. I was like watching them. Like, oh, all right, whatever. They like get a line and get like shrimp baskets or whatever. And afterwards, they're like, stacking up on like Pacificos. Okay, like I guess that makes sense. This is the only place around here you can really like. Like
not
beer.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was like, I get it, but I was like, yo, this is weird. They're just like, live the dream, bro.
Back in the Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, like
that's actually one of the Beach Boys.
He's back off, poor child.
See y'all.
Give me two, Utah.
Give me two.
Give me two.
Give me two.
Give me two.
I
give
fucking love that area up there.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I thought about after listening to what is that, episode 18 of Touchdowns All Day. Max Dawson like really described Topanga like a place I wanted to move.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and it I went right on the side of like in the middle
in
of
the village.
I went and looked at some places there and I was like, this could work.
Yo,
but there's so far though.
It's okay. There's a lot of spiders there.
Yeah. If you look on
I hate spiders.
There's
oh,
this.
Yeah.
He hates spiders.
Spider traps everywhere. Dude, I saw a spider out there that was as big as my forehead.
I got to tell you a story, man.
Yeah, like right down the side of the house. I feel like if the electricity turned off for 3 days, I would get murdered by spiders. Like they're waiting to kill me, but I have this power source that they don't understand and they're just like we will get him
power source called your Nikes I was living in North Hollywood when I first moved out here. We had a black widow nest in my air conditioner that was Frantly. Right above my head.
Oh my God.
I go out one day, I look in, I take my flashlight, I saw a couple, you know, black widows.
Yeah.
It was like that scene in Men in Black where the cockroach comes out. And I was like, ah!
Once you bust it, they're just like,
and I'm busted on.
Honestly, though, if there was like a 10-foot high spider That would be the most terrifying creature
there's
ever.
There's a movie about that.
If there's a spider that was like as big as this room, you'd be dead in 8 seconds. Let me switch gears for a second. Yeah. I went to Max's house in Topanga and I had dinner with Max, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else that was at that dinner was on Survivor. And once you're on Survivor, you're like in the Survivor Illuminati Club, and you only hang out with other people that were on Survivor.
Can you start that ever?
I'm like, what season were you on? She's like, 15. I was like, what season were you on? 21. What season were you on? 23. I was like, y'all weren't on the same season. How do y'all know each other? And they just look at each other all weird. They all went to a wedding together in Utah last month.
What? They're all swingers.
Yeah, they're all like some weird swinger shit. Like if you're on Survivor, you like kind of are in the club.
Yeah.
But they don't ever get like called back or anything like that. So you're on the show. It's like do they really?
Oh, yeah.
You sign a contract.
What? This chick Sandra has won twice.
Could you imagine losing to a person who's already won on Survivor? That's got to feel like the most unfair shit. She's like, oh, it's the quicksand challenge? Yeah, I got this shit.
Yeah.
It's like she knows the secret.
I mean, the secret is don't yell at anybody. Yeah. I would be terrible on Survivor.
Yeah.
You would be awful. You'd probably be great. You'd probably be pretty good. You might be all right.
I'd be good.
Would probably be good. Would you be bad on Survivor?
I would be terrible.
Survivor. How are you in uncomfortable situations?
I mean, dude, uncomfortable situations, I can marinate all night. I think I would go out too much with a bang.
If somebody did some petty shit, I'd just fucking put them on blast. You know? I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah, you're out you so piece fast, of shit, dude. You'd go to the tribal council and be like, we got this dude, and then everybody would vote you out.
Yeah, I'd be like, nah, I'd
be like, what the fuck, man? We all hate that. Danielle or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, I would just flip out. I'd be fine. And the next thing I'd be
like, that's what I'm saying. Like, somebody would
I would just totally snap somewhere.
Jam Band Survivor, who's winning?
But that's a TV show we want to make.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic.
I don't know if we do like a Survivor, though. I think we do like some making of the band Survivor mixture.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you want Survivor, you can watch Survivor. And there's tons of famous people on it. We put like a group of people and a group of people together, and they have to like make songs, and then we put them out of the stadium. Like, you kind of sucked on that track, but whatever. I'm voting here. Tune your guitar, but whatever.
It's like American Idol Survivor.
Yeah, American Idol Survivor. We should have like some reward at the end, like Jerry Garcia's lock of Jerry Garcia's hair. If you have the lock of Jerry's hair, you can't get kicked out of the stadium.
Yo, there's a lock of Jerry's hair in the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas.
Jerry Garcia in a bag, man. Yeah.
I mean, if you gave those guys enough acid, they would make some great songs.
Absolutely.
Who watches the show if nobody's dosed?
Right? We gotta get
we need ratings.
We have to get Pharrell.
There was
we need Pharrell. We got to dose.
No, Pharrell would never do it.
Come on.
Pharrell would still have to be very high to agree to do this.
Pharrell got paid $12 million.
We could have two dudes in robot masks pretending to be Def Punk.
Have any of y'all ever heard of NERD? And then you're like, oh, well, have you ever heard of Pete Shapiro? And he's like, no. No, I haven't.
Virginia Beaches, man, where I'm from.
Yeah.
That's our claim to fame, dude. Pharrell Williams.
Oh, he's
from my hometown.
Okay,
right. So my buddy went to his high school. And one of the teachers there went to school the same time Pharrell did. She's like a history teacher, and she was back then, too. Pharrell asked his history teacher to prom. She was like,
yes.
No, I can't go to prom with you. Years later, she was like, I should have done that.
Damn.
Whisk me away, Pharrell.
She knew she should have done
it. But
back then, probably, too.
Yes, exactly.
So who did he go to the prom with? Daft Punk? Yeah.
Oh, my buddy Jeff.
Classic. And then he just woke up in Los Angeles and made a hit.
One Alka-Seltzer later.
One roofie colada later.
Well,
we've some crazy shit right here.
You brought up Pharrell like earlier on in the podcast, and I think we cut it out.
Yeah, I was talking to Lane about Pharrell, and we cut it out because we were like, what the fuck are we talking about Pharrell for?
Yeah, because he's awesome.
This is a better way to speak.
This is way better than just, I met him at a bar. Barbecue once, and he was nice to me.
He played ping pong. He was good.
We cut that shit so hard.
I was like, yeah.
We were like 20 minutes.
I wanted to keep it so bad for staying power, you know, because it was like the first episode that I was like on board with. And I was like, but you're talking about Pharrell. I'm like, I mean, it's Pharrell.
He knows how to do the spinnies.
Yeah, but his backhand.
I was like, come on. He's got the hat.
Backhand.
I mean, now we can talk about Pharrell.
Yeah,
cool. Episode 5. Nah.
No, that was like 4.
And that was also just some dumb shit. Roman this is numeral. Actually funny.
What's the Roman numeral for 20? XX, right?
There is.
Boom, boom.
They were fine with 19 of anything, dude. 19 was enough back then.
Let me ask my Uber driver.
1 through 19.
Caesar, how old am I? We don't know.
You're 19 a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, we hit that. I started counting like from 1 through 19, and then I just had an orgy and drank wine. Yeah. What do you think chairs went from being, like, badass and you would lie down and just get grapes eaten to you to, like, this where we're sitting in, like, office chairs? You know, like, there's got to be a long history America. Of chairs. That, like,
it's working. Funny because Rome was so fucking dope, and it still collapsed because those guys were such lazy pieces of shit. There were so many people that were lazy pieces of shit. They're like, we got running water and electricity, but fuck these guys.
The whole city was a bath. Yeah. It was like, we'll just have a... let's go with another hot
tub. I mean, dude, bathing is pretty dope when running water didn't exist last year.
I mean, I would have been doing it. They're like, this bath has guys that jerk you off. This one has girls. This one has both.
What's on HBO tonight? Oh, TV hasn't been invented. Okay, let's go take a bath.
Yeah, you're like, come on over, fuck Claudius. I got a pool full of bitches.
You're and talking some wine. To a vine.
And a wine. I have a fountain of wine. No, like, literally, it's just pouring wine.
That sounds awesome, dude. We should have lived in
Rome. Let's go to Rome.
Seriously, people are always like, I would come back in time to now.
Yeah.
Like, A, you can't go back in time to now. B, you wouldn't go to Rome. Where they invented running water. They invented wine and running water. It's a pretty good 300 years for all of society.
They ruled the world with that.
Well, no, there was a couple guys running around killing everybody. There's a couple OJs out there stabbing everybody.
With armies of thousands. Imagine that recruitment. Like, oh, y'all fucking, you want to do this? Let's do it.
You want to murder people every day and rape all of the wives? And a lot of guys are like, yeah.
Do you like?
Yeah. I've been working on a farm. There's no women in my town. Like, wait, I can take that and just murder everyone and fuck all the women I can find? Good.
Tired of dirt underneath?
Let's invent democracy. That was the Greeks.
Fingernails? Way to fuck up the fantasy.
Tired of plowing your fields, rape and pillage with the Roman army.
That was the pitch, right? That was probably the pitch.
Do you like gold and sex with random partners? Do you think they had
Do you think they had recruiting stations?
Let's go.
Yeah, they had to have recruiting stations.
They had like recruiting stations.
I think it went from town to town. They were like, wouldn't you like to bring the power of the bathtub to Egypt? We can liberate them from no bathtubs. Let's bring bathtubs to the Moroccans.
I want
to bathe with their women.
I'm going to see a bathtub on
like jumping in the river. Well, we contained that and we made it swirl around.
Those animals swim in the Nile. We'll give them bathtubs.
There'll be a bathtub on every corner.
We got these
and a month-long festival called Saturnalia, where we just rape and pillage and sex and bathe
and provide running water. Yeah, nobody ever talks about the invention of running water.
Yeah, the Romans. Like, the Romans probably.
I mean, they invented it, right? But the aqueduct was it, right?
Before then, water was only walking.
Yeah, how'd you get water? You had to like carry it in a bucket. You could only get a bucket full of water.
You go to the well and just draw it out.
Yeah,
like, whatever that means.
And then you put it on your goat and you ride back to your village.
Yeah, there's no sewer system.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
They invented the aqueduct thing, and then suddenly it was tunics and bathtubs everywhere.
Orgies, zero to 100. We're riding off scopes to feed our family, make sure my baby has enough nourishment. Now we're like, let's just put this in a big hole.
I think Facebook is crazy. Like, they got the bathtub 1 year. 1 year. The year before, no bathtub. The next year, bathtubs.
Everybody says social media like is ruining us, like electricity. Yeah. No, it's like having a bathtub.
Imagine the old people who's like, our son has been orgying outside in this new bathtub thing for 14 years.
He's just scrolling
with their spawn. It's just orgying in that whole
thing. It won't stop orgying.
Please. He never comes out of his room anymore. He just orgies.
Orgy's day.
Augustus.
Society is going into a hole in the ground.
Even at dinner, he's always distracted by orgy.
Drinks wine and orgies all day. What is wrong with our child? He takes after you. You used to orgy all the time.
The bathtub history. When I was a centurion, we used to have dry orgies all day.
Worst thing that ever happened to Roman culture was the bathtub.
No one.
We used to orgy dry on the sidewalks. Now everybody's just swapping fluids. That's not Roman at all. What the fuck that was?
That's pretty Roman.
A year later, the whole society crashes.
They started fucking rocking.
Rome's doing great. Just some guy invents the bathtub. Gone.
They started head and shit.
And the bros were going out like, yeah, you never guess what Flavia did to me last night.
What'd she do?
V1-1X'd me.
Hey. She gave you the old 1VU, baby.
That's the funniest math joke I've ever heard. I still can't count
it. Crack the noodles. We'll see that all. I'm like, no. All right.
Your writers are really on it today. V11X. That is wonderful, Lutarius.
Lutarius.
Thank you for the hot shot. Shall we burn down the whole city on board?
Let's light it on fire. Let's have an orgy first.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I think what happened is they put bathtubs everywhere. Roman. And then somebody broke the water supply.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do. And they all went nuts and they burned the whole fucking city.
Yeah, but like...
Where are our bathtubs?
I think there
what
might be...
What have you done to our water? We cannot have the sex.
Like, what the fuck happened in those thousands of years between like that and like the Industrial Revolution or whatever?
That is like a technological like timeline. You know, you had like the bathtub and then like the cotton gin.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like a thousand years later. Like,
all right, let's make it easier to like pick cotton.
We're going from the wheel to the cotton picker.
The wheel to the bathtub to the cotton
gin. Yeah, people skip the bathtub, and that's dumb of them.
Yeah.
That was like 1,000 years. Like, at least 1,000 years.
Romans bathed themselves and took over the world.
Yeah.
Basically.
They'd already taken over the world, and then they figured out how to make bathtubs,
which came
and then
first.
Their society collapsed within a
They were, like, murdering villages, but the villages were like, man, it's
that was pre-bathtub.
It's worth the bathtub.
They probably had so much blood on... Necessity is the mother of invention,
yeah, they
right?
had to clean up blood
on. Right? They were like, in every city we go, we have to make, like, 5 baths. So we can wash this blood off.
Yeah, they left a trail of bathtub.
That was like a confident village. First thing they did was like, all right, let's get started on the bathtub.
All right. let's wash off and sex it up.
Yeah, they would show up to your town, kill everyone, then build a few bathtubs.
Except for
clean
the women.
Themselves, and then they would leave. So the smart villages would put some dumb dead people out, and they'd come and kill all these dead people, and then they'd build bathtubs, and then they'd leave, and when they left, people were like, all right, we got a whole full set of bathtubs. Be like chingy at the Holiday Inn. And be like, yeah!
At the Holiday Inn.
The ancient weekend at Bernie's.
Give us the water hole thing that you do, right?
And
they're like, motherfuckers showed up and built 8 bathtubs and left. Dude, this is dope.
They just made Sandals Jamaica in our backyard.
They said they're coming back, but I mean, they got places to be. They won't be back.
You gotta go conquer somewhere else?
Yeah,
it's all about the bloodlust in that level.
They were sweaty, bloody, and smelled like figs. Dates and grapes and
tortillas. I mean, that shit must have just been everywhere.
Yeah,
grapes. You know what I mean? Grapes. It would be grapes and wine. That's everywhere, they were just like, yeah.
Is that like turkey? Is that like turkey leg
what,
era?
What
oh yeah, they had
that's turkey leg like era too.
By inventing the bath, they were able to do all this.
No, the bath came after.
Really?
That's my guess. That's
okay.
I think so.
Because I think once you invent a bath,
so what
you,
was,
you don't
want to
do shit.
What was the inciting incident that made the Romans?
It must have been a weapon of some kind.
Well, also the aqueducts, dude, when they finally figured out they could like take water from nearby lakes, the aqueducts are still standing today.
Well, you know that's what we've been talking about for an hour and a half.
Yeah. One might say the bathtub.
You're like, well, you know,
just engineering.
Really
so you know the Romans. So first invented the bathtub.
How do you think?
By the way, they invented the bathtub. Too.
How do you think? How do you think they got the bathtub?
No, they must have had some. They must have had something like a sword that was. Like, they must have had some
broad
way of
sword.
Forming metal into a sword that was
well,
better.
The Romans
armor.
Just
Maybe they
used armor. Like the whole reason the Huns took over the world is because they were able to shoot bows and arrows off of horses.
Yeah.
And like you cavalry. With your metal sword, your what are you going to do? Like by the time you swing the sword, they got four arrows in your chest and they ran by you.
Yeah.
And so they were able to do that. So there's always a... With every empire a is a massive military advantage.
I want to know what that one thing is. Callers, let us know. Historian, call me up. Drop us a line.
Listen to the Wrath of Khans podcast by Dan Carlin.
That's the hard-ass history? What's it called?
True. Hardcore History.
Yeah.
He's got a four-episode thing called Wrath of the Khans. I think
it is
the
so
best
good.
Podcast that's ever been
Dude,
made.
Right, the fact that Genghis Khan still like sires 0.09% of the world's population.
Yeah. God, you know they just fucking lift that number up. That's not it. You can't really change it. But I'm like, well, you know, he probably fucking
Ancestry.com. I am.
Ancestry.com. They're like, look, we're going to charge people $30 a month.
And we're going to tell them they're related Genghis to Genghis Khan.
I probably am descended from Genghis Khan.
We are related to Genghis Khan. Yes.
Now, the guy who invented the bathtub, on the other hand, he's at least 2% of the world.
But yeah, no way. Was
throwing down.
No way. Easy. He checked the fuck out. That's the second that he was like, yo, all right, the wood catches on fire here. The bathtub is here. Done.
It is interesting who made the first hot water bathtub. Because it's got to be fire, right?
It's got to be fire.
A stone.
But like in your house, you used to have to go to the water source, get a fire, the whole thing.
I guarantee
you. Don't do that anymore. So when did they make that graduation by just walking this room like my house and turn something in hot
that's
water?
That's like the out. Public bathtub thing.
Yeah, it's public bathtub.
The public bath thing.
I bet you that's how the Romans did. They probably put up big buildings with hot water bathtubs and everybody went in there for a shekel or whatever.
And then they had them in their house.
Or is that where taxes started?
They were like, hey, use the bath, but we're going to get a quarter.
Right. Like, all you motherfuckers want to get clean?
You all want
to. But Burning Man still works, though. Except they hose you down. But yeah, I think that's how it started. That's how they invented the bathtub. And then the whole society went crazy.
Could you have invented the bathtub, though, without the real reason, the aqueduct?
No, because you're carrying buckets of water around.
Well, like, because the whole idea was that, I just want to be right fucking here. A degenerate.
I know the answer.
I don't want to leave the city to do anything. So build this.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. You could have invented Google before the web page was invented. I could have given you a phone number, and I think these even existed.
This happened.
Where you call and ask any question you want and get the information back.
Yeah.
But it's the website and the fact that the computer doesn't need any humans to deliver it to you.
Yeah.
They don't need any humans. That makes it the scale that it is. And the aqueduct is the same thing. You don't need any humans to move the water.
The water just flows.
Yeah, so you can just move shitloads of water because nobody's complaining about their back problems.
And orgies.
Yeah, but I don't know how they cooked it back then. They must have just had a big fire.
Lava rock.
I don't know. They must have had a big fire underneath and some slaves.
There was like another
they had fire.
They had that they would heat up. It was another
a fire path. They did. They did. They
tire.
Literally did. There
oh,
was like,
interesting.
So there was, it was like
a sewer. It was
so like, you got an individual bath.
It was like
think,
a sewer.
It really was. You don't get into because it's too damn hot. It's like
I bet you they had like a donkey attached to like a swirling thing of buckets.
Just a hamster on a wheel.
It would walk and it would bring all the buckets up and it would pour the water down.
Burning themselves all the time.
If you're wealthy enough, dude, if you're Julius Caesar chilling, you're like, hey, you're having those dudes.
You're like, whatever it takes, make this water hot. Yeah. I don't care if you die.
Bunch of donkeys.
And donkeys.
No, but there really was like this internal, like underground, like system of heating. All
you
these
watch
baths,
like Gladiator movies, right?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I mean, like
fucking insanity,
right?
You always
that's
see those
insanity
dudes.
That there was that level.
They're hanging volcano. Up in those rafters and they're like watching everybody get killed. You're always rooting for the gladiators
water
in Gladiator movies. This is my whole point.
Are you?
I don't know. I've only seen one Gladiator.
But this is what I'm saying.
In 300, I don't really root for the Gladiators.
You root for the Spartans?
No, because
what do you mean? You want the Persians to win?
I kind of think the Persians won and that the whole thing's
did
bullshit.
Win.
Well,
you
dude,
know what I mean?
They did.
They did.
Because the guy's like, oh, I have a huge army. And they're like, we have a sword. I don't know if I buy it.
The Persians would have ran away if he goes, I have an army. He goes, I have a bathtub. They go, whoa!
Oh, shit. Bathtub.
But the Greeks didn't have that, man. So the Spartans were just all
they had
hard-ass,
bathtubs in
like,
Greece,
wow.
Right? Is that the difference
I mean,
between
they had
Rome
baths
and Greece?
In Greece, for sure.
Yeah. Greeks,
the Greeks famous for that.
They were boy lovers as well, man. That was what they did.
Dude. Yeah, but they like, is that what Rome did?
Yeah.
Worse than Greece? Because Greece, you know.
Greece I think was like philosophy.
Overall, Greece has a better reputation.
Yeah,
than
but
Rome,
was it?
Right?
They still
right?
live.
Right? No.
Are we really talking about Greece versus Rome?
Yeah. Like there's like a thousand year difference.
I had a fucking dream about this. Like, this was foretold.
This exact
I had a dream. Where I was explaining to someone
that Rome is
that Greece versus Rome.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course it's Greece, right?
Really?
Yeah.
It's got to be Greece.
Nah.
Because they're classier.
What the fuck is going
on? We got you there, dude. We're deja vu.
Dude, I had a dream last night.
That's
I was at a job interview and they were asking me, well, what do you like socially? And I was like, I like to talk to people. I like to be a conversational person. I like to talk to people about things that they're interested in and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I'll talk about Greece versus Rome, but we all know it's Greece.
Dude, what are you talking
about? That's what I said to the job interviewer at my dream last night.
We asked you who was better, the Bee Gees or ABBA.
That was not my dream last night. It's obviously ABBA.
It's the Greece versus Rome.
I would have said ABBA before I realized how much you liked the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I have to go and like study them both because you
but seriously,
love
I
the
mean,
Bee Gees so much.
That is kind of crazy. It is like a noble conversation to have, right?
Rome versus Greece. Classic versus fucking Latin. Yeah.
That predicate all our time, dude. Like, yeah. America is made up of two.
Well,
like,
who came
nations.
First
it's
and
Greece
who kept it realer?
Well, Greece came first.
And who kept it realer?
Greece.
By a lot.
To like
Rome
the
had the advantage
law.
Of technological evolution. By,
Greece
like,
was just more fun. Rome, yeah, they like murdered each other. Yeah. Right. Greece has all the OG like mental badasses.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like Aristotle like, and right. Plato.
So like those
Rome, companies. They were just like, we read that and it's dope. Let's take a bath. Yeah. And kill each other.
Well, that shit's dumb.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Greece.
They were the dumb stepchildren.
Yeah.
They were the
bullies. They really were.
Greece. They like, yeah. We're like, nerd. I think, therefore, a nerd. Two root tape. Just wrecking them, dude. But then, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, Michelangelo, all the boys, like, arts history are born out of Rome. The Medici family.
Are they, though?
They are, dude. They moved to Italy.
That's a thousand years.
Tell
difference.
Me those dudes didn't get their original money from the bathtub.
I mean, yeah.
No, actually, the Medicis were like plumbing merchants. True story.
Dude, and that's how they got all the money
crazy.
To fund the arts and yeah. made the Renaissance.
They literally
happen.
Were selling bathtubs to people door to door, and that's how they made
it
their money.
It all comes down to the fucking
they
bathtub.
Are the Bill Gates of bathtubs.
Because
of that. And they made the Sistine Chapel because Michelangelo got all his money from the Medicis.
Yeah.
Who knew? Wow.
They were doing something.
God, that revolution is so fucking slow.
You know how, like, dude, the mafia makes all their money from, like, construction.
Waste
the
management.
Medici family made all their money from plumbing.
Yeah.
And that's how they funded all these other expenditures.
Who knew
things.
The bathtub was the biggest invention in the world?
Well, we've stumbled upon
we
it.
We just figured that out.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, who?
And we figured that out organically.
That was completely.
I'm looking at my cue card right now, and it only says bathtub on it once or twice.
Do you have a bathtub here?
It says reference dream, Greece versus
reference dream, increase followers by 7. No, that's true. I don't know what's
dude,
wrong.
Dude, that had moments like that recently, man, where I was dreaming about Dickie Betts, you know, from the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Who was like, I don't know, this is wild.
And,
you
love and the Pro Bible looks like Dickie Betts.
So, Chris,
I love Dickie, dude. Yeah. Like, Dwayne Allman probably went out the coolest that any guitarist could, like, on a motorcycle. But he only really got famous from Fillmore East, right? Meanwhile, Dickie Betts went on, wrote Ramble Man, Jessica. And I've just been having dreams about him lately. I don't know why, man. Just maybe at that major key.
Chris, our resident Allman Brothers Bee Gees expert.
I just watched the Allman Brothers live at the University of Florida. It's like, I love, I mean, they did it. I guess it would have been considered like a pro shot video. Like, it's definitely like a multi-cam like video.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how it was released. I don't know if it was ever released as like VHS or whatever back in the day. But like that fucking video is insane. Like that crowd is insane. There's shit you see in that crowd that you don't see in like Woodstock 99.
It's a little like, racist. There's a little and, racism shit.
Oh, dude. Well, I mean, it's the South in the 80s. Like beyond that, it's just like you have a real sense of what the era was like, and you know, I respect it. There were
keg stands.
There were right. There were like 30,000 people that showed up on a college quad to fucking watch the Allman Brothers. That's fucking badass.
At the time, that was just an absurd amount.
An absurd amount of people. And it's like...
In Beijing, it's like nobody showed up. That time.
Yeah.
You're telling the Allman Brothers tour in Beijing. Does anyone ever ask you, like, guitar icons?
I think I have six.
No, Rushmore can have six presidents. I think so.
All right. I think you got to put Jerry.
Yes.
You got to put Jimmy Page. Mm-hmm. You got to put Jimi Hendrix.
Completely.
And then I think...
This is where all goes to the
world. Those are the three.
Yeah.
You can't live
without. This is where people would say Zappa and Cotton.
Those are the tone.
And then I think you got to put Eddie Van Halen in there.
I like that.
I kind of think you got to put Wes Montgomery in there.
Okay.
And I really think you kind of got to put Trey Anastasio in there. And I think that's my six.
Dude, I think Trey for like at least 4 to 5 years.
I mean, who's a better rock fusion guitar player than Trey Anastasio?
He perfected what Clapton did. I don't know.
No one's a better rock fusion guitar player than Trey that I've ever heard. And no one's a better jazz guitar player than Wes Montgomery. No one reinvented the instrument like Eddie Van Halen did, except for Jimi Hendrix. And nobody's a bigger rock god than Jerry Garcia or Jimmy Page. I don't know how you crack that six, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if that's a final six in Survivor, like, I don't know who they vote off.
Yeah.
They probably vote off Eddie Van Halen because he's kind of crazy. I don't know if I'd vote off Van Halen.
He was the sound of the times, man. I mean, like, what do you think about who he influenced by playing the way he did? That's what.
Yeah, like Jimmy Page invented heavy metal, which is the hip hop of white people, and then Eddie Van Halen invented hair metal, which is also the hip hop of white people. Jerry Garcia is the great American songwriter. Trey's the Stradivarius of the guitar.
Dude, well put. Wow.
Isn't he though?
He is.
It's just like so wicked and exact all the fucking time. It's
crazy. No one else plays his guitar.
And
no one can replicate
the guitar.
That is
amazing. And Wes Montgomery's the best out of all of them. Wes Montgomery's better than them all. And then we could talk about honorable mention.
Dude, I would love to hear
Django Reinhardt.
Okay, here are my two people.
Yeah, let me pick apart your shitty choices.
Jerry's in there.
Jerry's in there.
I think Hendrix in there.
Who is?
Hendrix. Absolutely. I think instead of...
Jimmy Page, the number one guy to ever pick up a guitar ever.
Are you kidding me? Oh, dude, I played Zeppelin.
The guy who wrote Cashmere isn't good enough for your top five.
I didn't say that. I didn't say Jimmy Page. Dude, I don't know enough Wes Montgomery. Dude, you know
you need
Eddie
to be a guitar
Hazel?
Player
you know
to understand Wes Montgomery.
Yeah, Eddie Hazel. Funkadelic.
I like Eddie Hazel.
Love Eddie.
I love Eddie.
And just because he played with soul in the same way that like Prince did, dude.
Yeah.
He would influence Prince.
I mean, Eddie's a wild high flyer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Completely. That guy would just take a note, you know, bend it, take oblivion.
Eddie's in your top five.
I think he is, man. I think Hazel is, man. And honestly, it's the other guy I just mentioned. It's fucking Prince.
Prince is not a guitar player.
Prince isn't a guitar player.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a... keyboard player too. Like, do you think Raspberry Beret is as good as Cashmere? Is that where we're going?
His first album, he played everything.
You think Let's Go Crazy is as good as Stairway to Heaven? Is as good as
Barber?
Anything Eddie Van Halen did is as good as
I do. I do.
Are you crazy? Let's Go Crazy.
No, I don't think so. It's like a Phil Collins song.
I would replace Prince with Eddie Van Halen. I would put Prince on the same
level.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. That's why Eddie Van Halen's in my top five, and that's why I'm picking yours apart.
Wes Montgomery for Eddie Hazel, and then I'll take out Eddie Van Halen for Prince.
But then
you would remove Eddie Van Halen, possibly the greatest guitar player ever.
So
you could have a guy who doesn't even play guitar and writes.
Dude, let's go.
He plays guitar.
Yeah. All right, great.
Purple, right?
Let me just say this. I love Prince, but I don't get the Prince worship.
There is a Prince worship.
I don't get it.
Ever since he died, sure.
No one compares to you. It's a beautiful song. I played it in the acoustic set. It was gorgeous. When Doves Cry is a good song. Like, he's got 6 or 10 good songs and 5 other good things.
I don't think it's music. I don't think that's music worship,
album.
Though. I think
for
that's,
album, really?
Dude, I think that's
here's
really.
Here's the trade he's we really make. Good. You show me some Wes Montgomery.
All 7 and they watch them fall. You can stand in the place of love and then we smoke them in your innocence and your staff warfare. Really, French Prince? You're going to have the French
in seven is real.
I am yours. And it sounds like that shit was written by a robot.
It does.
Dude. Daft Punk wrote that shit.
Dude, I'll show
you. I am yours and you are mine. Dude. And we stand together in all space and time. Like, give me a break.
I don't like his album produced by
Elon Musk. They asked Clapton.
Prince is dope, but whatever.
They asked Clapton who the best guitarist in the world was. And he was like, I don't know. You got to ask Prince.
But no, he didn't. Those are all fake quotes. But Clapton,
all fake quotes. Yeah.
The only real quote is Clapton said, I have a lick that's better than Jeff Beck, and Jeff Beck has a lick that's better than me, but Jimi Hendrix has a lick that's better than both of us. Yeah. That's what Clapton actually said.
Right. Yes.
You or got, Jeff Beck actually said that. I don't know.
You got me on Jeff Beck now, dude. Jeff Beck, Blow by Blow. No, that's a fucking album, man. That guy could play some funky-ass music. And
I mean, Jeff Beck might be top 15.
Yeah, he dwindled. He's around there, you know?
Okay, I have a question for you on that to piggyback on the Mount Rushmore, though.
Mm-hmm. Who has the like best that, tone?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you
Santana.
Were to put...
Fuck,
that's what I was thinking.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Page is second because his tone sucks and it's still great.
Yeah.
That's what Santana's I would think. Dude, Wes right. Montgomery has great tone. Yep. Trey has great tone.
Trey has amazing.
Jerry has unbelievable
is so
tone.
So clean.
Hey, you got great tone, dog.
Thanks, bro. I generally don't like to fuck with tone. I don't
on the last tour, like, on the last tour,
I feel like a million guitar players have worried about tone their whole life. I just want to be the one guy who doesn't do that.
Yeah, on the last tour, like, you were enjoying the tone.
Yeah, because like, the guy got dialing in and did a really good job. But Santana's tone is retarded.
Dude, when I first went in for my first
it's like creamy. Yeah, dude, tastes like sour cream.
Dude, I just sustain?
Yeah.
Give me a break, dude. That guy can hit a note, you know, that's just so sexy.
And Santana's great at ping pong.
Is it?
True. Tone is good. Ping pong is good.
Was this the
I didn't know how good Pharrell is at ping pong, but Santana's sick.
When was this? When
we made Senor Boombox, we were in the studio next to Santana's studio. I walked into Santana's studio, which is a big no-no, but I just acted dumb. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I went to Santana's studio, and I'm in the next one.
Dog, you're personal enough.
So I was like, oh, sorry, wrong room. And he was like walking around with no shoes on.
He's
on the carpet.
You were
trying to get his feet into the carpet. And I'm a barefoot guitar player. So I was like, yo, that's some genius shit. And he was playing his guitar through his amp was in the live room, but he was in the control room playing his guitar going, dee-doo, dee-doo, dee-doo. And the producer was just sitting there like he's been there for an hour and he's just getting paid so much that he loves the situation. Yeah. And Carlos was like rubbing his feet into the carpet and playing these couple of notes. He might have been cutting Smooth or that album. Whatever he made in 2002, he was cutting.
Dude, holy shit, it absolutely was. Yeah. It was like
Rob Thomas.
It might have been that. It wasn't that. I don't think it was that song.
Yeah, that would have been after that.
Honestly, if it was that song, I wouldn't even know because I was paying no attention to the song.
Dude,
he wasn't really playing over a song, but he was testing the tone, and he had his guy in the other room, and he was speaking through the talkback mic to his guy that was in the band room, and he was like, do a little of this, do a little of that, do a little of it, and then he would rub his feet in the thing and play notes, and then and I was looking at this dude, and I literally walked in like, sorry, I'm here, and nobody turned around and looked
amazing.
At me. Nobody looked at me. He didn't look at me. The other guy didn't look at me. The guy in the other room didn't. And I sat there and watched it. I was like, wow, this is how the pros do it. I need to get a carpet. I need to take my son.
Like,
I need to speak Spanish candles. To some guy in another room.
No matter what happens, I can't lose track of fucking playing. You know, like whoever the fuck randomly comes in the room, I gotta be like, whatever.
You're on some other fucking planet.
John Barber walks in. It doesn't matter. I'm still gonna just cut smooth.
All you gotta do is just get.
I mean,
I've heard
crazy stories about Santana on stage with other guitarists. Like if. He feels like you are showing him up while He'll you are like on stage. He will fucking he will cut the song quickly, like on his band and move on. Like, which is kind of badass.
He would kick me off stage at 8 seconds.
He would 1,000% kick you off stage.
He's still
I used to be very wary of that. We're playing some huge thing in Colorado. It might have been Copper Mountain or something. And I walked out on stage and I was playing with them and I was closing my eyes and jamming along, but Kang was soloing.
Right.
And it's his band.
Yeah.
So I was playing the middle. My eyes were closed and I was really focused on what he was doing. So he was playing these upper notes and I was playing these like little things underneath that he was playing. And the rest of the band was vamping.
Vamping, yeah.
And Kang was just going and going. Yeah. And I was playing this middle stuff and it was fucking great. And then I'm just jamming and jamming and jamming. And then.
Did he give you death eyes?
Nershi hit me in the back of the head.
Yes.
Like a fucking pissed off father. He smacked me in the back of the head. My eyes were closed.
Yeah.
I just like went crazy and started playing insanely. And Nershi had pressed all of my distortion pedals.
What? No way.
So, because my eyes were closed, I looked down and all my pedals were on and he hit me in the fucking head and I started shredding. And next thing you know, I shredded the jam into the ground.
Fuck yeah.
And then I walked off stage and he was like, what the fuck is, why don't you wait forever to play the fucking jam? And I was like, I'm not going to play Uber Kang. It's his band.
Smacked you in the head.
Yeah, he fucking smacked me in front of 15,000 people.
He's like, yo, peak, bitch.
Yeah. That's what it was like.
Yo, get some.
It was very weird. I've never been smacked on stage before.
It's jam etiquette, right? To like hang back, like let whoever's band it is.
I mean, I guess.
Take it to the next level. But like, if they're not doing it,
unless you're,
well, I mean, I think
they're the super shredder. Yeah.
I think they've done that jam with Kang a million times. Like,
yeah,
right. He was like, "You're on stage. I've done the jam with him. Would you fucking play a little
right,
bit?
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Like, do something, kid.
Let's make it cool.
Yeah, have some fun.
And you did
crazy
something,
shit.
Kid.
Like, yeah, that's what it sounded. That's like, what it felt like.
He's like, we brought you up here for a reason, bitch. Yeah. Oh.
So you just started playing the Funky Town riff.
It'd be funny if I went into some wacky shit.
So Niles Rogers get lucky.
Mr. Rogers get lucky.
Shut the fuck. Welcome to my neighborhood.
It's a beautiful
bitch.
Day in the neighborhood. That folks like, yo, that shit's hot, dude.
You were peeking.
Oh man, this is a podcast. We're cutting the podcast.
We're cutting
podcasts.
We're printing.
That was a good podcast story.
Yeah. Hey, we're printing.
That was
over
a
here.
Really good podcast.
Somebody
story.
Told me once that this is the printing press these days. Well, we're cutting over here.
Some like quote, once John upon Barber. A time had said the printing press was the greatest invention, but no, tonight we found out here in the studio.
It's the best.
It's the tub.
What else could be better than that? Warm. Go home and fuck your girlfriend on a printing press.
On paper, fuck your girl.
Harry Potter, stamp that. Stamp that shit.
Do
Henry Ford can suck a dick.
Why didn't you put a bathtub in those fucking cars?
Hey, get a tub, bathtub here.
We should have Pro Bible go undercover, like going to house parties, and everywhere he goes, he asks for a
builds a bathtub.
We need a bathtub report.
No,
Pro Bible or
Hollywood Pine. Hills bathtub report. Bro Bible, Swedish Fish, and Crunk Mike.
It's a good one. Approximately five people are there.
Do you guys happen to have a hammer?
But please, we already have a bathtub.
We tried to help rules.
We bought the tub and the ladies and the good times. We need a hammer and a screwdriver and some caulk.
We're going to have a month-long party where we're going to fill the baths with wine.
That sounds like a good fucking party. I mean, I hate to say
it. Seriously.
They probably do that in L.A.,
time out,
right?
Time
they
out.
Really dude, 1,000%.
We can sell that to HGTV. Yeah.
You haven't been?
We're all definitely getting invited to those parties after this.
Why don't we just throw a Saturnalia?
Yeah. What's any that? Saturday. It's,
that's
it's
a
in
month. That's the month where we turn all the baths in the city into wine and have orgies.
Sincerely, that party actually it would happen in the new year. Is it October?
I don't know. I thought it was a fall.
I thought it was like a new year party. It's like,
I thought it was like a harvest
right after
thing.
The new year actually pops off.
It's either that or New Year's.
Yeah.
Yeah. What researcher looked that up?
Okay. Well,
what do you do? Do you just like,
Jamie,
would you just like rent a couple bathtubs, put them in the backyard?
Dude, it would just be a toga party, dog. To be honest.
Yeah. Toga party with bathtubs full of wine.
I've always wanted to go to a proper toga party.
Do you think
I've never been to one. I've never been to one.
I still have a toga.
Own a toga?
Yeah, I was in AP Latin.
I'm just like, toga.
I have a fucking junior classical league fucking medal. Like, I was like
Salvio Magista.
I scored like in the top 3% in the country.
Everyone listening to the podcast who wanted to fuck Crunk Mike just stopped.
Fuck.
I was
that was not
AP
me.
Latin. Pause.
Give these to me.
That was not Crunk Mike. That was actually Brandon from Bro Bible. That wasn't
stop,
me.
Stop. You're getting all the listeners.
He just
went.
We've been hanging out a lot, so he's been able to. He's been able to mimic my voice.
No, I don't know. Finish your story. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I forgot it now.
No, you were talking about getting an A++ in AP Latin 4.
Yeah, so I
still have a toga.
Yeah, because I was God Hades.
Well, like, when did...
Because Hades is my jam.
When did the toga party, like,
it was
end?
Gifted to me. I didn't ask for it.
You know what Snoop Dogg
is? Sucks
down the road?
The toga party
he goes,
ended.
Hey, these nuts, these...
Bringing it back around.
DJ Easy, dude!
Play it back.
Hey, these nuts in your mouth. Hagar, dude.
Hey, these nuts need Dilbert.
Okay, what's so your question about tone, that was Santana, right?
Ooh.
Who's your great tone guitar player?
I don't know. I mean, I would put Van Halen there for like what those bends look like. Those bends are so, that's like, how do we get out of the 70s type of like shit? You know what I mean? Like where it's like, it kind of has a little bit of punk in it. Like, which is my shit. So
remember Dave Mustaine, dude.
Dave Mustaine, that guy
used to have that crunchy ass tone. I can't take him right out of 70s.
I can't not think of Carlos Santana though without like all of the stories that I've heard fucking about him that are just like bananas.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know the legitimacy of this or not. Like, but I've heard that like Rob Thomas apparently like because of like the smooth shit. Fucking like hates him, like
hates Santana.
Yeah, because of like publishing rights, like shit over it. So Santana took all of the publishing rights on Smooth, which like is a Rob Thomas song.
He wrote the song.
He didn't write that guitar riff.
And Santana takes all the publishing.
Yeah, Santana took all the publishing on it.
What
made the song? The song or the guitar riff? I'm just guessing.
I think the song.
Probably the song. The song, 1,000% the song.
Just like
you can't have the Matchbox 20 thing to Christopher Walken in rock and roll.
That's just what you're saying.
Rob Thomas made like a fucking nickel on
I've never heard of musicians just like not agreeing to be peaceful in that.
He still plays that song with Santana.
Yeah, they still play it together. I just watched it the other day.
No, because like, you know those like top comment fucking Instagram handles and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah, he was just posted recently, Rob Thomas did, like, he was like, played a couple songs with Carlos Santana at something that's like wild. That.
All right, give us another story. We don't believe that.
No, but then John Mayer like commented on it. He was like, what song did you play?
Your body is a wonderland.
And then Rob Thomas commented, he was like, we played Smooth and Voodoo Child. And then somebody else from the fucking internet was like, I think it was rhetorical, Rob. So not only is he not making any money, he's just getting fucking ridiculed.
Yo, but doesn't that actually...
Yeah, maybe he doesn't deserve any money.
I was going to say, doesn't that set up...
right?
Doesn't that set up our premise that he made no money from it?
Yes.
He's just a loser.
Yeah, like there's so much going on in his head, he don't even realize he just cries.
Yeah.
I don't think the Matchbox 20 tour is selling out these days.
Oh, no, dude. That shit went kill.
I used to have shaggier hair. You would be surprised, dude.
I would. The Killers make like $1 million a show, and they just have one song.
If you were to do Matchbox 20 with like the Goo Goo Dolls, like, and you know, put it in like Hershey Park Arena or some shit like that, it would crush. It'd make so much money in one night.
And they probably do that once or twice.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Those guys aren't stupid. Those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it also is that doo-doo.
Yeah, he said doo-doo. I almost called him out.
They probably do that.
They probably do-do-do-do that.
And then
I mean, it's the doo-doo dolls.
As I used to say in eighth grade, the doo-doo dolls.
Did you really?
Okay.
Of course. Dude, that was the end of the lunch.
So this brings me to my next question.
In eighth grade, I tried.
Yesterday, I'm sitting in a fucking barber's chair. All right.
Clearly weren't shaving or
definitely not shaving. This is the most that I get when
just
I sit
like
there.
Putting
just
the
like, you know, just hanging out. Scissors,
did you just
outer something.
Yourself or something?
Bo Bice, it's great to have you.
Why were you there? Were you lost?
Was it a bar? I don't understand.
Were you right. Blind?
So the owner of the barbershop gets in a fight with the manager of it. Yeah. And he's like, yo, you got to turn rap to something else that's better for it. He turns it to Sublime.
Yeah.
Sublime, like 40 ounces to freedom, like style, like shit.
Best album of the last decade, even though it came out a decade before.
It's like almost 30 years old. Like, it's like 25 years old.
It's like one of the best albums ever.
So here's what my question is on it. And I was thinking of this because I'm fucking sitting in a goddamn barber chair. So Brad Noel, the lead singer of Sublime, had he not, you know, whatever Bradley happened Noel, to him and everything, like Bradley Noel, like
gone out in a tragic fish taco accident.
One of those.
Yeah. What's the hypothetical that would have happened with him? Because he's a sick fucking guitar player.
He was one of the best singing voices in the game.
But have you ever heard his guitar?
His DJ sample was fantastic, dude, too. Man.
That acoustic album, Bradley Nolan.
I'm just like,
one where he does the dirt. Yeah, it's just crazy.
I'm just curious, Jelly, like, if
Medley and shit.
There's like certain people who are like world class vocalists just because. Like, and they always crash and burn. The one guy was a world class vocalist, the guy who came out a couple of years ago. He had a huge hit song a bunch of years ago, and he's like a world class vocalist and he doesn't even know it.
Ed Sheeran.
No.
Dude, I want to know this is R&B
singer. Yeah, I wanted to hear who you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But let's hear the
try it again.
Bradley Newell. No, I mean, so like I've been thinking about this for a lot. Like,
what song does Bradley Newell sing poorly? He sings everything. He sings Jerry Garcia. He sings Bob Marley. Nothing. What song does he sing poorly?
He doesn't. Nothing.
No. And he's high as shit.
That's he's high as fuck on heroin.
That's
and, like,
the best
he's fucked
version
up
of Scarlet Begonias ever recorded.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
Sure.
He
Cornell 77 Sublime.
I'm sorry. I'm a fucking deadhead, but like,
dude,
there's nothing better than that shit.
2019 Portland, Seattle.
Disco Biscuit version.
I feel like
the Maryland Disco Biscuit version. Dear that version is dope, too.
Dear Jerry?
Yeah, the Dear Jerry version.
That's a great version.
We played that on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
I just feel like...
Episode 15.
I feel like for what that era was like with like Blind Melon, all these other people that were creating around the time of like Sublime.
I love Blind Melon.
Dude, Blind Melon's the shit. God. Like, but like Sublime mastered such a party music, but Brad had such a bluesy sound to his guitar tone that blows my mind because like that wasn't around in that post Nirvana Pearl Jam like era at
the
time.
He was trying to remember the soul
he had what those guys didn't have. Which
he was like all the good things you like about rock and roll, and then mixed with like an LBC like hip hop fucking punk
exactly
style. Like
it's a very good point, man. I never thought about the fact that he was coming up the same time as this grunge
same time
dude.
All of that
same
shit.
Time.
There was the freshest
Soundgarden
shit to come
all
out
those
and all of
Chris Cornell was
after good. Them.
No, he was before.
Blind Melon was like that too. Like
he was before that. Sublime's first album dropped in like 1993. Soundgarden's way after that. Like,
1993.
Soundgarden is my favorite grunge band ever. Dude.
I like Soundgarden.
I think Soundgarden is grunge with balls, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree. I don't agree.
You don't think?
I don't like Soundgarden. I think the best grunge album ever made is Smashing Pumpkins' first album.
Sure. But, dude,
Siamese Dream? Is that what that is?
Gish.
Are they grunge?
Gish. I don't know why I love Gish. It just hit me with the time.
Is that Melancholy?
It's like the first Smashing Pumpkins album.
I think Blind Melon self.
All those albums are great.
Blind Melon self-titled.
But that's not punk.
That's not
super punk.
You don't like grunge?
I never liked Blind Melon. Even when it was out, I didn't like it.
Dude, but no, Soundgarden.
But dude, that melody doesn't do anything.
Not fucking No Rain. Yeah, like Tones of Home and like Dear Old Dad. Yeah.
There's something about that like guy's voice. Just
it's a little tangy.
I'm
it's
like super
tangy.
Tangy.
Yeah.
We're like Together Rain.
Well, that one.
That sounded like a lot of the songs. Is that Bill Collins or what?
Yeah.
You sound wonderful.
I used to be in a Blind Melon cover.
What's
band
the best night?
Really? We were called.
What's the best? Like,
I'm the best
okay, so, so here's a weird hypothetical
that's
for you.
Dumb,
hold on,
dude.
John, I'm going to throw a crazy hypothetical to you. Had Brad Noel never died, Sublime would have just kept on going on.
He would have died a week later.
Right, probably. But of that era, could Sublime have captured live what Phish had?
No.
You don't think so?
No, they were too punk.
The only
what
band
is a jam band, and what they did was their own kind of jamming that they mastered.
I think my thinking is if they could have kept going on, Fish sing like Sublime,
never.
No.
Like, but can Sublime work on the
I know what you mean.
Level
what you
that
mean.
Fish works on?
My thinking
is a Blonde do a Big Cypress.
My thinking,
never.
No,
never.
Of course not.
Exactly.
But they could do it.
Can Fish do Top 40 Radio?
Not a chance.
But Sublime
do it all day long.
But Sublime could like throw out a fucking harbor show on a boat in fucking Long Beach.
Yeah, I mean, like, Sublime was an amazing combination, like Eminem type of combination.
Yeah,
where
so
it's like
Sublime
it's
is
like
more
kick
like
on
Eminem.
The one reggae.
Yeah,
which really could have been the biggest thing in the world.
It really could have.
I bet Sublime.
It could have been so big that the whole world listened to
rap
it.
Reggae. Fucking
well, the dude made KRS-One Revolution.
He was like,
so
KRS-One is a hip hop guy. I'm gonna put him on alt rock radio. Like that's crazy.
KRS-One.
Like
KRS-One was dope.
Reggae.
I'm just like fascinated by that cultural.
That motherfucker was a genius.
Let me ask you a question. If you want to talk about things that didn't happen.
Yes.
What do you think Jimi Hendrix would have done if he lived for five years?
Oh, he'd have been the best fucking.
A bluegrass album.
Most he would have been. No,
bluegrass album.
The last thing he did was blues.
Where was Jimi Hendrix from? Like Atlanta or something like that? Is he from?
No, he's from London, dude.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he's like a British. Settled in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
Did y'all are ignoring the obvious. If Hendrix was still alive today, he would do a fat song with Rob Thomas.
That's the answer.
He would absolutely
the most obvious realistic answer. Sorry, I asked.
He would be a Carlos Santana type. Dude, they both play killer sets at Woodstock.
What would be better, Rob Thomas' song with Santana or Rob Thomas' song with Hendrix?
Hendrix.
He would be on all the annuals. It would be like,
it's called Smoother-S.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Hendrix song wouldn't have been as big as the Santana one, but it would have been better.
It would have been. It
See, I'm always
Rocky
like,
Road, Rocky, yeah. Rocky Road.
Sing that song, Colors of the Dream I Had.
The thing that like always
Greece of Rome.
The thing that always
Let me tell you now. Let me hear it now.
Why do like the biggest pop acts in the world though not like do things that act more authentic? And I know that sounds super
like
weird
Rob
and
Thomas.
Jammed. No, no, no. My example is like Taylor Swift. All right. Yeah. I've said this for years. Like,
she's pretty authentic.
Sort of.
Well, I mean, like, as authentic as Max Martin's ever going to get anybody. But
yeah.
But like, doesn't she kind of sing about stuff that's like pertinent to her fan base?
Yes. But why would Taylor Swift never say, hey, I'm going to make a fucking acoustic roots style like thing bit, but... just as a project?
Well,
put
because
it out there.
Ryan, what's his face, did it for her.
Ah, that sucks.
What?
No, it sucks that you can't have that layer of authenticity, though, when you can't be truly like...
Do you care about that?
What?
No,
Do you want
really.
An acoustic album of Taylor Swift? Are you okay with the...
No, what's his name? What I'm just trying to say, like, what does...
Scooter Braun is the guy that's...
Well, he owns
all
her rights
right
now. That's her whole thing, is that he, like, owns all her rights.
It's like a cash show. It's like a cash show.
I'm still not a big fan of Taylor Swift. I got a little sister, right? That music was on 24/7.
I'm fascinated, though, by somebody who, like...
But then I see her on a commercial, and she looks, like, fun and bubbly, and she's, like, serving milkshakes to people.
See,
That's
not what I'm trying to say, though. Like,
she's playing you, dog.
She's doing it.
She's
fucking.
Bars, you say my TV's lying to me again.
Yeah.
She's like, wait a second.
She also
I can have my cocaine flown in from Colombia and get here before your dealer's coke can get to you. and all I gotta do is pretend to do a whip it on television in front of you.
Make
a
song about it. I can turn you, Chris Limbaugh, into cocaine. So. I can snort you by sundown, you son of a
sundown.
Honestly, I think that Taylor Swift has taken the Britney Spears model and perfected it in a little bit of a way.
Well, it's in the aspect that it keeps going on. But the thing that blows my mind about that is, like,
agreed.
As you understand, like, artists need a break from whatever the fuck it is. Look, occasionally they go back into...
I think most artists battle a large amount of lunacy on a regular basis. I don't know. I feel like the job... Like, I don't think Jay-Z is battling lunacy on a regular basis.
No.
But,
yeah,
and he's dope,
I think he
but,
is. I think he probably
you
is.
You think so? He probably is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably is.
But do you think he wants to battle me? I mean, I heard everyone that I know on Wednesday. But that's a great question.
I battle lunacy.
Once you
hide it really well.
Jay-Z has achieved whatever the fuck
it really well, but it's there.
I don't know. Sometimes
in like terms of like you know career, like Jay-Z probably looks back on like everything that he's done and been like, well, maybe I'm never going to have something as great as the Blueprint.
Streets
like
is
something
watching.
Like that. You know what
Streets
I mean?
Streets is watching DVD
like,
when he was
right,
like actually
like
killing
Black
people.
Album, whatever.
Like selling drugs
I don't think
and making
he cares.
A movie
I think
about.
He's got other shit that he does now.
But he still has like the drama. Shit.
No, but dude, he doesn't. Dude.
No,
he's
but he's like booking the NFL now. Oh, yeah.
He's
doing all this stuff.
Put his head
you
down.
Move on to your
and
next
he's
thing.
He's worked with Kanye, dude. He's made like these multi
millions and millions of dollars.
I just think they're. I just think
so many moves.
Yeah.
So well.
What fascinates me about like someone like Taylor Swift, etc., is that like, you know, the evolution of your sound
is constantly an evolution of everyone's sound that you have to, whether it's like a hit or miss. Rather than going back to like whatever roots put you on this path, you know?
Well, it's an interesting thing because she collaborates with Max Martin to make her albums.
Yeah.
And Max Martin collaborates with all the people that you're talking about who are making the sound.
Casey Musgraves, so, et cetera, right.
Yeah, I mean, Casey's more authentic because I think she's
real.
Brings him the song and he produces it. I just think Casey's super authentic.
We love Casey Musgraves.
Yeah. If Casey could have mellowed out at 5,000 seat places, I could have gotten a song with her.
Dude, she was the best bomb.
It's not too late.
She's got the Nickelodeon.
She's got the sickest voice.
Dude, she was the best.
Country twang.
Think about, a fucking Biscuits country.
Did she make an album with Max Martin?
Is that banger.
I think her last one. I think he has a couple of records on
Diplo,
it.
Yeah, Major Lazer.
But I mean,
John Barber and Casey Musgraves. I'm telling you guys.
I'm not anti-Max Martin. I'm pro-Max Martin. I think he's awesome. And I don't mind the fact that he dominates pop, and I don't mind the fact that it is what it is. I like his work, kind of. I kind of respect his craft.
You have to.
So I think if Taylor Swift is going to work with him, she's going to work with the best. I think she's still maintaining some kind of artistic integrity with the guy who's literally running the whole music business.
Yeah.
Like, how do you tell Max Martin, I want to sing about this? Like, it must be impossible.
Sure.
You know, just because, like, are you wrong? It must be a situation. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to work with him. I don't think I could deliver what he needs me to deliver.
Yeah,
I've worked
with
pop people before, and we just fucking disagree about everything.
Guy.
Nah, I have my process, and that's what it is.
I mean, we can make rap bangers.
I think rap bangers would be doable. It's just a podcast with sped up.
Pop hits, probably not.
Sell tracks.
I mean, do pop. Like,
fuck,
you
pop.
Have to have a voice that people
want
to be entranced by.
Do you
want to
be pop?
I mean, I'd love to make
everyone
pop
wants
money.
To be pop.
Pop money.
It's awesome.
I'd love to be like, I love that Lamborghini, but I bought another one. It would be hilarious for me and everyone who loves the Biscuits, but it would suck for everyone in the pop
circuit. I have a legit question on that, though. In terms of like
it would suck for all of them. That's why they keep me out.
How that workflow goes. You have an opportunity to be MD on like a pop act.
Major Dazer.
Yeah, Major Dazer. That's it. That's
Major Dildo, John Barber.
That's more accurate, I think.
You get a chance to be a music director on a pop act. You get a chance to, let's say it's the Chainsmokers. They're like, yo, we are fucking out of ideas.
We need
we
John
know
Barber.
That we can sell out like
Casey Musgraves.
Every 18,000 person room in the country, but we need to make it fucking sick.
If I went in the studio with the Chainsmokers for 3 months, that would be their best album they ever made.
Damn, y'all heard it here first, Chainsmokers.
This is
John Barber from the Disco Biscuits.
However,
the Chainsmokers.
That's what I mean, though, by music.
However,
maybe a little Halsey. Best album of the year.
Oh, all of
however,
the
I would learn in that process, and the second Chainsmoker album we made together would be like Zeppelin 4.
Of course.
Right. The first one we made.
I think you might like, that was fun.
Are we giving them too much credit?
We know those guys are A-plus producers.
They're so smart.
They're the best producers in the game, and I don't have that skill.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing
I don't
how
want
I
that
use
skill.
The same three
but
chords.
I
can,
you not,
I
you
can live in the song, add the changes, and make the dynamics of it into something where it's a movie now and no longer a song.
Right. That's what I like.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I live in the song and it drives me crazy.
So if you have
and then right at the point where I get super insane, I make a version of it randomly that I don't remember making, and that version is amazing. All my good songs are like that. All
so
of
he
that
weaves. He weaves a Game of Thrones.
You,
one might
if you
say.
Had that opportunity,
a thing that goes
because,
from miles to miles and back again.
But,
there's mountains,
JB,
there's valleys.
I'm gonna,
there's something that pops
after
up. There's geysers that explode, and that's something the pop industry isn't quite
exactly.
Ready.
Well, they don't have time for that bullshit.
They don't,
yeah,
we do.
But my fans, if I try and deliver them something that doesn't have what you just described, in 6 months they're over it.
Yeah.
You know, it's an encore song at best.
Exactly.
Like, if you look at the Biscuit encore songs, you see all the songs that I didn't live in.
You just churn out, but those are the ones that people want to.
I mean, you got to churn in the game.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to get your chops up. But, like, the songs I wrote, songs fucking 25 years ago, people still want to hear. So, and those, ironically, are all the songs that I don't remember when I made the version of it that you want to hear.
I still want to hear Fish Out of Water.
do you? Fish out of water. I mean, with bad pop people.
That's so interesting.
I worked with bad pop people for a year, and we got Fish Out of Water. Dude, it's not a terrible song.
It's a great song. Yeah.
It's fine.
It's so, what are songs?
But if I had the Chainsmokers in the room instead of the people that I had,
it's a radio
and the people
hit.
That I had were
it's
good. We had fun. But if I had Chainsmokers, we would have done something ridiculous. Yeah. I made a bunch of Chainsmokery songs earlier this year with some guys, and I'll probably play it on the podcast. A couple of the songs. I think I'm going to play it on 21. And people are going to hate it, and it's fine.
Is this luckily 2-0, as the Romans would say, XX?
I don't know what podcast this is. It's not 2-0. 2-0 is Brownstein. He's a bass player of the Disco Biscuits.
Fucking right.
Mark. Yeah, you know Mark.
Is he out here? Is Brownstein out here?
No, he lives in outside Philly.
Iron Marn.
21, I was going to play all my new songs that I put out this year, including the ones that I made with my producer friends.
Fire Ice.
Give people some random shit.
I would love to drink a beer, too, and like listen. Or... You know, just hang out and
work into the mic.
You want to hear the shit?
Yeah.
I'm going to play that stuff on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess I could play it, but like what we've done tonight, I think stands on its own. Yeah. And I don't know how to make a good podcast out of what we did tonight, but there will be a good podcast made out of it.
All we got. I think the Roman bathtub shit was gold. I really
want. I mean, honestly, that was an original
thought. Dude, those bits, man.
That was an original
thought. I went off on a thing.
So that's one option.
Feel free, dude. If you need to edit it, just send them my way. I'll know how to like cut this shit, dude.
That's one option.
What do you mean? What do you got?
Is for us to take 5 to 10 minute bits out of it.
You
and just put them in every podcast Ableton? For the next 10 episodes.
Your story about string cheese at like...
I've never told that story. And I didn't even realize that. I hope that story is like...
Thanks for finally scheduling this shit.
Yeah, thanks you guys for coming out to the Valley.
It's hard to do.
I think the fact that Bro Bible joined us gives us the ability to have an extra person. So like there was a time... Where I was in my head a little bit, and the three of you were just gone on some fucking hilarious shit. So with the four of us, like, it allows everybody to come in and out of the thing fresh.
I mean, John, I'm interviewing you on your own podcast.
Yeah, whoa! That happens every podcast. But that's what's cool about this podcast. Yeah, if I do things that make that interview necessary or worthy, then the podcast has a lot of value.
I think your shit sucks.
I'm here for
No, you have never thought of that bathtub thought in your life, and nobody has ever said that to you.
I know.
It's a completely original thought. The bathtub was invented, and people went crazy.
I
thought of a lot of things in my life. I've never considered the fact that at one point the bathtub was invented, and people went nuts.
Right? Me either. And literally, people were like sucking on nuts.
Yeah. It's like, let's fuck, dude. There's a hole in the middle of this wall. Wow, you made it to the end of the round tables. What do you think? Should you let us know? Hashtag touchdowns all day. Do you want more round tables? Do you want us to stick to the music? Whatever you want to say, let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, let me thank Crunk Mike, Vic Soap Tea, the Osiris Podcast Network, for helping Touchdowns All Day become a number one global podcast worldwide. And we thank you, of course, the listeners, for sticking with us and helping us make these podcasts and sharing and tweeting at us and doing all this stuff and being a part of the community. We hope you're excited. There's a lot of music coming out. Tourists in 3 weeks. So take a listen to everything. We hope you enjoy it. We hope it helps your fall be more fun and exciting. We have some biscuit shows coming up. Come out and see. And we hope to talk to you soon. Thank you all so, so very much. Bye-bye.
We're mass communicating.